Well, good evening. Let's try it again. Good evening. It's good to be here. It's good to worship with you. It is good to see you all. It's good to restore our fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus by being together. I want to thank you for the invitation to come up and to report on the work in Fiji. And I understand your interest, not only because that souls are being saved in another part of the world, not only because this is a work that the Lord is doing, but because that you're supporting Nevitesh. And so, Millers, you're going to see the same presentation that you saw the other day, but I'm going to change the direction a little bit, and we're going to focus on Nevitesh since you all are supporting him. So I'm going to go back. I think I've been here before. I think we determined that we've given this report here before. And so for some of you that have those unbelievable, phenomenal memories, some of this is going to be repetitious, but for those of us like myself that may forget things, it'll just be a review. And so want to back up and begin the history of the work in Fiji. The motto of the Fiji Islands, and Fiji is an island nation. The motto of Fiji is where the new day officially begins, or where the new day begins. The reason that they make that claim is because they're just over the international dateline, and so sun rises there first when the new day begins. In fact, midnight comes there first as the new day begins. Just a few facts about Fiji. The population has grown back up to around 900,000. It had been a million or a little over a million, but it took a sharp decrease down into the 700s, at least around 800,000. And the reason is because in the last couple of decades, there have been three military coups, and so government's been overthrown three times. And so there's been a lot of instability. It has affected the economy. It has affected investment in the nation. And so people have left to other countries to get jobs. So the population dropped down, but there is a lot of, there has been a new government established. The people are very happy with the new president and with the government. He has something like an 80-something percent approval rating. Hello, America. And so things are going quite well. There's a lot of construction that is going on there. And so people are staying, and the population is rising again. The ethnic groups is 57%, and I didn't get a 2016. This is probably about a four-year-old statistic, but it's going to be very close to the same. So about 57% of the population is Fijian, meaning that they're indigenous, they're native to the islands, and 37% are Indo-Fijian. Indo-Fijian meaning that they're from the country of India. They are Indian people who have been moved to the Fiji Islands, which happened in the 1800s to help run the sugarcane fields. The remaining balance, whatever that might be, is just made up of different groups. There are a lot of Asian people there, and so just different groups make up the balance. The language is English. Everybody speaks English. The only ones that don't speak English are the very aged, even the older people. English has been being taught in the schools for several decades now. And so everybody speaks English in Fiji. And then the other, of course, is the Fijian language itself, and with the Indian people there being also the Hindi language. A lot of people will speak all three languages, maybe not fluently, but they will speak all three languages. The religious makeup is 52% claim to be Christian. The reason that 52%, so a vast number of the people in the islands are Christian, is because in the 1800s, it was quote-unquote evangelized by the Methodist Church. I believe the first missionary was John Baker, I believe was his name, and he tried to do some work on the Fiji Islands, but 200 years ago even, the Fijians were among the fiercest cannibals of the South Pacific, and so they ate Mr. John Baker, no joke, they did. They were persistent. They kept going back to the islands, and so eventually Christianity has swept the island. It would probably be the majority of people would claim Christianity if it weren't for the Indian population who are Hindu. Among the Indians, 7% are Muslim. The Fiji Islands are located about 2,800 miles southwest of Honolulu, 1,100 miles north of New Zealand, and if you were to just kind of draw the closest line across to Australia, it's about 1,500 miles east of Australia. The Fiji the Fiji Islands are made up of about 333. You'll get some say 330. It's debatable as to how many islands. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the definition of what an island is, but there are about 333 islands. They are volcanic islands. About 100 of them are inhabited. We'll be able to cover this on this. Well, let me back up just a moment. The bulk of the population is on the, and I think I'll come to this in another slide, but the bulk of the population is on the Big Island, the island of Viti Levu. Viti means land, but it is also the Fijian word for Fiji. And so Levu means big. So this is the big land. And Vanua Levu up above, I forgot what that means. And so it's the smaller of the two big islands, but about 70% of the population is on the big island, and then the majority of the remainder is on Vanua Levu, the northern island, and then there's population scattered around the other islands individually. The big island, where the bulk of the population is, and where we did all of our work. We did go up to Vanua Levu and we baptized a young man up there, but our work just kept us so busy on the big island. And so that island is about 100 miles in width at about 60 miles in height on average. It's about the same size as Hawaii's Big Island, once again home to about 70% of the population. Let me back up here. I don't know if I have this map in just a moment. And so let me point out a couple of things here. Nandi is the where the international airport is. There's also an airport on the east side of the island in Nasuri. They are changing that to become an international airport. They're working on that. But the majority of tourism is on the west side of the island because that's where the flights come into, and many of the tourist islands are on the west side. And so much of the jobs and all are on the west side. Nandi has a population of about 35,000. Lautoka up above has a population of about 55,000. And Suva on the east side, which is the capital, has a population of about 250,000 there. We did work in Suva and baptized some people there, had some studies, but again, our work kept us mainly over on the west side of the island. Well, the way the work came about in Fiji is that I was being supported by a congregation in Kansas City to do evangelistic work. They were supporting me just to go out and to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so while I was working with them, it had entered my heart and my mind as I was going to a lot of different places, and I was following up doing work where others had already established churches. The work was indeed well established. I had gone to South Africa, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Botswana, just different places, Belize, Costa Rica and such. And so there were already churches established there, and it just kept entering into my heart, why not try to find a place where there are no sound churches? Zimbabwe, that work's going to continue on if I never go back. India, that I made trips to, that work's going to continue if I never go back. But Fiji, for instance, there was no sound church. And so I started searching for a place in which there were no sound churches, where the gospel was not being preached in truth. And among different different countries, Fiji came up on my radar screen. My parameters were I wanted to find a country that spoke English, because you go there, you don't know what the translator's saying. He's not a Christian. You have no idea what he's saying. So I want to find a country that spoke English. I wanted to find a country that was relatively safe, that had a low crime rate, because Penny and Colton were, at least at first, going to go with me. Colton bailed out on us and went to Florida College. What a choice to make. There was work to do. I'm joking him, of course. I appreciate the smiles. You understand the joke. And so wanted to find a place that was safe, and also a place that did not have a strong anti-American sentiment, because that can really harm you in work of evangelism. And so once again, Fiji was one of the places that came on my radar screen. I did some work down in New Zealand, and so on one of those trips, my flight was taking me through Fiji, and I thought, what a coincidence or providence. And so I created a three-day layover on the 4-day layover on the way down, and a 3 or 4-day layover on the way back, so that this was my first time into Fiji, and so that I could just stick a toe in the water, so I could just go out and work and see if there was any interest in the Bible. And so when I got down there, of course, I found out my days became full immediately. And so there was a lot of interest. And on the way back, Rick Lanning met me down in New Zealand. He came back with me to the Fiji Islands. And in our studies, we baptized seven in February of 2010. Colton graduated in 2010. So in late May, he and I went down, or early June, I think it kind of touched both months. But we went down and we stayed for close to 3 weeks. We tried to strengthen the people that we had baptized earlier, and we also baptized three more people into Christ. So Penny and I began to think very seriously about moving down to Fiji because there was interest in the scriptures. And so in August, she and I went down. We stayed into September. We stayed for about a month. And during that month's stay, six more people were baptized into Christ. And by the end of that trip, we were having so many Bible studies, we were having to start to turn them down because of logistics. It's public transportation. One may be in Latoka, another down in Nandi, and another one over here. And so we were having three, four, or five Bible studies a day, and it was just difficult to get to all the places. And so we determined that somebody needed to move to Fiji. If we didn't go, somebody needed to go there and cover that work. And so we made the decision to move to Fiji, and we raised the support. And in February of 2011, Penny and I relocated to Fiji, where we stayed for a little bit over 2 years. We were going to stay for 3 years, but Penny's father became very ill, was one of the reasons, and then there were a couple of other reasons, and we came back a little bit early, but we were there for a little over two years. I may forget to say this at a later time, and it's certainly not to be boastful in any way, but to show that there is and was and is a great interest in learning the Bible in Fiji. During that 2 years, and the only reason I know this because I put it on my reports every month, a total of somewhere over 700 Bible studies that we did in those 2 years. And so we stayed very busy. Now, the problem with that is, as people may be thinking, wow, what are you doing standing up here? Why don't you go back to Fiji? The problem with all of that is that it is an island nation. And the lifestyle there, we describe it, we picked up on this terminology, it's life under the coconut tree. And so they're very irresponsible. It's hard to find people of commitment. And you may get 700 and something Bible studies. And those were not counting the assemblies. Those were a small group and individual studies. You may get 700 and something studies. We baptized in all of the years that we've been working there. Since 2010, we baptized somewhere around 60 people, and about 15 of them have remained faithful. Maybe 20 of them have remained faithful. And so it may sound great in all the Bible studies. It's a lot of work just to get those few that will remain faithful. Well, when we moved down there, we moved to the village of Visese, and this was supposed to be the first village that where the Europeans landed, and it's supposed to be the most traditional village in Visese. So we lived just outside the village. The work didn't take off there. We stayed only a couple of months, and there was a house for rent in Nandi, and so we relocated down to Nandi right on the main road, and I'll show a picture of that in just a moment. But most of our work was all around the western side. We worked in Latoka, and in Nandi, some of our work took us down to Momi. We did a lot of work down in Singatoka. We've done work up in Tavua. And then Batacola, there's a gold mine in Batacola. And so there's a village there, a community there. And we've also done work around in Savu Savu. And we've done a Bible study over in Nasuri. And we've had a few studies in Suva. So we've worked the island from here all the way around to Nasuri. And we've never even traveled this section. It's been kind of one of our goals to travel that section, but the roads were horrible at the time. They were under construction. We just never really had the opportunity. So someday maybe we'll get all the way around the island. Nothing new to add. All righty. Oh, let me back up for just a second. This picture was taken on my 50th birthday. We went over to Australia. We took about 3 days to go over to Australia. And so the picture behind is the Opera House in Sydney is what that picture is. But I just want a picture of my wife. Now, when we move from Visesa down to Nandi, this is actually near Namaka. It's in a little community called Wangandra, and it's spelled W-A-Q-A-D-R-A, Wangandra. Not an N in it. The Q's have an automatic N built into them, and the D's have an automatic N built into them, and so it's Wangandra. And so this was a little block house, a little cement house, about 900 square feet, and this road here went back into the community of Visesa. Several hundred people, maybe even 1,000 people, lived back there behind us. I just tossed this picture in. While we were there, we were through one hurricane, two major floods, tsunami threat. It didn't come to the island, though. And so we had exciting times there in Fiji. This was the major flood, the biggest flood that Nandi had ever known. Water had never been up into this house that we were renting before. It was the first time. Reason was there was a breakage in the dam, or we think that somebody just turned a wrong valve. It happens in Fiji. And so at any rate, they dumped a lot of water and caused this flood during the very rainy season. This is the road out in front of that house during the flood. That road goes down to Nandi. I'll show it to you again in just a moment. There it is, without the water. And so that was the street out in front of our house. This is the main road that goes around the island. So when you think about our interstate systems, there it is. And so this is that road you saw on the map that goes all the way around the island. On the bottom half of the island is called the Queen's Highway, and on the top half of the island it's called the King's Highway because of British occupation. And so up until recently, their money had the Queen on it, and they have a very good relationship with England. You can see the bus stop there. Public transportation is the way that the majority of people get around. This is looking to the right or to the north if you were standing on our front porch, and this would go up to Visesa and to Lautoka in that area. Quickly, this is now a hotel. We've stayed there several times. We met there for worship in the beginning when we moved down to Nandi, but we moved into our house, you'll see in just a moment. But this is used to be the U.S. military base, and it goes for about a mile and a half up the road, and there are barracks and all in the back. And so where the hotel is was the officers' quarters, and then they've turned that into a hotel, and then all the barracks they've made into housing there in Fiji. I know what you're thinking. I thought you were going to talk about Nevitesh. But at any rate, when we got set up into our house, we started having the worship service there, and we had a sign painted just letting people know that we had worship services in our home. Hundreds of people would walk past our house every day going back to the neighborhood back there in Wangandra. Also, I went to a fabric store down in Nandi. I had them just take a sheet and sew me some loops in it, put a couple of rods in there, and so I would put the projector up at night so that we could do signs to let people know that we had worship service there at the home. And we grew pretty quickly. Our largest assembly that we had, we were running somewhere around 32 to 35 was the most we ever had in our house, except for a gospel meeting. We had more, and I don't remember what that number was. And so it was an L-shaped room. So this is me standing by the screen where I would preach from. That's part of the living room, and back in the back is the dining room. And so an L-shaped room, you can see Nevitesh trying to slip into the picture there. You can see Nevitesh trying to slip in there, but there's more people over to the side. So this is, then I just turn to the side. Now, here is Nevitesh, and this is Manju, his wife. They have two daughters. They only had one at the time that this photo was taken. I'll come back to them in just a moment. This was the first day that I went out in doing Bible studies, and so I asked this gal that was working at the hotel if she'd be interested in a Bible study, and she said, sure she would. Could she invite some friends? And so I told her, of course not. This is private. And so she invited her friends, and those are also relatives. And we studied with the Siri, the lady at the hotel, for quite a long time. And then finally she was baptized into Christ. She became unfaithful, unfortunately. we hand out tracts wherever we'd go. We'd sit toward the front of the bus. We'd hand out tracts. And the great thing is people would read them. And so these people didn't know we were taking their photo. So they're not posing for the picture. It's just that we would see as we'd hand out the tracts and information invitations, people would take them. Good backstory to this. I won't go into it because we want to talk about Nevitesh. This is Mossy. He's a Methodist preacher. We baptized him and his wife. Again, he did not remain faithful. And this is John Salin. Now, I'll take a moment here and talk about John because this is our connection to Nevitesh. We were meeting, first of all, I told you, in the conference room of the hotel across the street from our house. And so we were handing out invitations. We'd stand in front of the grocery stores. We would stand at corners, hand out invitations. We'd get on the bus. We'd hand invitations. And so on one Sunday morning, she's not pictured here, but their oldest daughter and her fiancé came to our worship service. And so later on, I asked her why she came to the service, how she heard about it, and she said, well, actually, she said, you had given me and my sister an invitation two different times, and we thought God was telling us we needed to come to your worship service. And so also interesting is that her mother called the day that they came to worship service, called later that afternoon, and said, I understand that my daughter came to your worship service. We would like to get together and talk with you. And I thought, okay, here's the concerned mother. You know, who are you? This cult, that cult, you know, so on and so forth. And so she actually either said, or once we met, they said, well, our daughter told us that your worship service is very similar to ours. We'd like to get together. We worked with John Salin and his wife, Sarah. We worked with them. We studied with them probably 50 to 100 Bible studies all together. We baptized him and his whole family into Christ, except for their smallest son. He was a quote-unquote pastor working with the AOG church, and he had, quote-unquote, three worship centers, much like us, meeting in our home. They just call that a worship center. And so that opened up the door for a lot of Bible studies that we had through him. This was down in Momi. If you remember, I showed you down a little lower on the map, Momi, and then down toward the bottom, Singatoka. And so we got into those areas through John Salin. We had been studying with this group of people, and these are all, the majority of these, if not all of them, were associated with John Salin. And we had been studying with them for quite a while. We had taught them about the church commitment, several studies. And so Marshall, our oldest son, was down on a trip, and so we felt that they were ready. And he taught on baptism, and that day 12 people were baptized into Christ. This is Marshall. You've met our oldest son, Marshall. And so he was down, and again, that day there, I think, were 12 people baptized into Christ. While we're on this photo, John fell away, and when he fell away, he took all of these people back with him. But we patiently worked with some of them, and they came to find out what character John really was, and we salvaged maybe half of them back out of it. And so it's sad that John departed. He literally, I'm not using it figuratively, back when he was still in the Hindu religion, he was a witch doctor. And he came out of that, out of Hinduism, being a witch doctor, and got associated with the AOG church. And I think he'd have still stayed with us if there'd have been, I think I'm right in saying this, if there'd been money involved, I think he would have stayed with us. But we wanted to make sure he was faithful to the Lord before we offered any money. And obviously, he was not faithful to the Lord. He is now divorced from his wife. His children won't have much to do with him. So I think we were wise in waiting to see what his character was. Again, it opened up opportunities. This was one of his quote-unquote worship centers, a neighbor that lived near them. We got to preach there. At one time, Penny and I were doing three worship services, one in our house in the morning, one up in Latoka, and then the other one down in Momi. At this study, or this worship, we were having 20 to 25 people regularly. We had gospel meetings while we were there. We just made a makeshift tent. We made some poles and put up a tarp and had a gospel meeting. Most of these people are just people from the community. A few of them were people we were already studying with or that we had baptized, but a lot of these are just from the community us going out and working in the community. Let me pause for a moment because I may forget this. And that is that the way that I met Nevitesh was through John Salin. Nevitesh, there was a quote-unquote worship center at his home, and he was the quote-unquote junior pastor. And so as we were meeting at this home, having worship services, I'm going to get there, having worship services, he asked if he could come to the morning service at our home and if he could have a Bible study with us. And he said that he didn't want to leave this group. He just also wanted to come to our home. And so John and I were working very closely together. And when I told him about it, and I was happy that Nevitesh wanted, because Nevitesh hadn't been baptized yet. And John did not want him coming to our house. He wanted to keep control. And I told him, I said, I cannot do that. I can't tell him that he can't come to worship. And I will not tell him that I'm not going to study with him. This man has not yet been saved. And if we do that, it could discourage him and he could turn away his interest. And so John didn't like it that I handled it that way. But I'm not going to tell someone that I won't study with them just because some guy wants control who turns out to be a bad guy anyway. So that's how we met Nevitesh. He started coming to our home for Bible studies. We had several studies with him. We started studying with him and his wife, and they were just an absolute joy. They had such genuine hearts, still do have such genuine hearts. You would see them as we would just study some of the basic things that sadly many of us just began to yawn at. Yeah, heard that 100 times, heard that 500 times. You could see them as they would learn that for the first time. You could just see their eyes light up. They'd look at each other and they would smile. And you know, we already had a close relationship with them. And we would ask them, okay, what is it? And they would say, well, when we were with John, this is what they said. But it is so clear what the Bible says here. And what I've learned through a lot of my Bible studies, if you just teach people the foundation of truth, they begin to put things together by themselves. And so once they get that foundation of truth, it just seems like light bulbs click on over and over and over again. Nevitesh and Manju are some of the most wonderful people that we know. And I'm not closing the presentation, but thank you all so much for supporting them. They are indeed worthy, and the work in Fiji is dependent. It will die without Nevitesh doing it. These are just other gospel meetings that we had in different areas. We would go back into the community. I did a neighborhood bulletin. Instead of doing a church bulletin, I did a neighborhood bulletin with articles that people would be interested in, need to learn things. And so we'd go around. Almost everybody had a fence. I would go down the streets, and I called it Bible Truths. I'd go down the streets calling out, Bible Truths, and I'd stick one in their fence, go to the next side, Bible Truths. I got all kinds of invitations to come in and to have biscuits and tea and to sit and to talk with them. And so it worked out really great. In there, we also put in an invitation. This is Colton on one of his trips visiting from FC. I think this is maybe Christmas, a Christmas trip. And so he was handing out invitations when the bus would stop in front of our house. We'd also put in the bulletin invitation for a Bible correspondence course. And through that, we baptized Lysa. What we would do is we would put a little information box in the bulletin, letting them know that the bulletins were also available at the gate of our home. So we put an information box there, and we put the bulletins in there. And so every week, they would run out two or three times. We would fill it back up. This is Lysa. She wanted to do the correspondence course. After about the third lesson, we asked her to also accompany that with a study with us, which she did. She was baptized into Christ, and she is a rock. She is one of the most diligent people that I know. When we go down this last trip, we had a study with her 3 days out of each week. And not only that, but when we were going to other places, she wanted to go with us to the other Bible studies as well. She is a sweetheart. Now, when I say that she's a sweetheart, don't get the wrong impression. Get out of the way. You mess with her and you're in trouble. But she is indeed a sweetheart. And this is her grandson, Abraham, that Nevitesh baptized just a few months ago. You probably read it in the report. This is her on one of the other Bible studies in the hotel, and a Siri came. And we were also studying, I think, with one of the hotel workers at the time. Again, we had people come because of the sign that was on our gate. These are some of the people. I won't go into the story because we're running short on time. Got to tell you this one, though. The family had asked if I could, what word did they use for it? They didn't use consecrate, but it was a word, dedicate, if I could dedicate their son for them. And I said, what are you talking about? What do you want me to do? So I kind of had some ideas, but I didn't want to just tell them no. I said, what do you want me to do? And they said, we just want you to pray for him. Well, sure, I can do that. And so they come over and I just prayed for him that he'd grow up to know the truth, that he'd grow up to serve the Lord, that his parents would be a good example and lead him in coming to find the Lord for himself. And so Jonah, his father, is a flight attendant for Fiji Airways, and he used to fly to LA. Now, we've been down there for several months, and the food is different than ours, way different than ours. We've been down there for several months. So we finished the prayer for his son on. He opens up this little duffel bag thing that he brought, and he pulls out this big chocolate cake. Now, they don't know how to do desserts down there. Pardon me, I don't mean to offend anyone, but they've got the British influence. And so sweets, you know, totally different. And so they pull out this chocolate cake and we cut into this cake and it is moist. It is rich. It's just a wonderful chocolate cake. And I looked over at him and I said, do you have any more children? And so this is the fellow that painted the signs. We had several studies with him and his wife, but they never were converted. And this is Nevitesh Manju. This is their oldest daughter, Marilyn. I wished I had a more up-to-date photo. I apologize. They now have two girls. They have Marilyn, who is about 7 years old now, and have Evelyn that is 4, going on 5 years old. And they keep them busy. And so once again, they are just wonderful, wonderful people, wonderful family. This is the night they were baptized. We went to the ocean. We baptized them into Christ, and their teeth were chattering. They were freezing to death. It was a whopping 65 degrees cold, and they were just freezing. I have a photo that I may get to at the end, but when it's 65 degrees there, they are wearing hoodies. They've got the blankets wrapped around them. And so, you know, there's two seasons in Fiji. You probably heard me say it, hot and hotter. And when it gets down to 65 at night, it gets down to 60. It is like bitter cold to them. The record cold was while we were down there this last trip, it got down to 55 degrees, record cold in Fiji. You want to talk about freezing. They were freezing. And when it'd get down to 65, we had no air conditioning in our home. What a relief. We'd put the fan in the bedroom window and pull that cool air in, you know. And we would tell them about it, and they'd just shiver as we told them about it. They could not believe that we ran a fan with 65-degree temperature. This is Nevitesh on one of our trips. When we knew we were moving back to the States, we built this porch on the front of his house so the church could have a place to assemble. Nevitesh has grown. He has developed so much. The first time I met him, John Salin had asked me to come do a Good Friday talk down at his worship center. Sure, I'll be glad to do it. And so went, and I don't remember what I talked about, but I talked about things that would be truth in the Bible and tried to build a relationship there. And Nevitesh was the one that did the opening comments. I don't know if he's just nervous because of American being there or what the case was, but he was stumbling over himself for words. He was almost backwards, which was surprising because he was an agriculture teacher in high school. He has equivalent to a bachelor's degree in Fiji. And so it's just kind of surprising, but he has developed. He has a confidence now because he has knowledge of the truth. I'll be looking for a verse and he'll say, brother, it's, he'll tell me what verse it is. It is just amazing, his comprehension. He's been studying for the last few weeks with some Jehovah Witnesses. And on the last study, they brought one of the big dogs from America. And they could not refute Nevitesh's arguments, and they left because. And he had had several studies with them, and so it wasn't that he was closed-hearted, and they just said this guy won't. They couldn't refute him, and so Nevitesh has simply grown tremendously. This is what the worship service looks like on his porch on a fairly good day. I mean, it's not unusual to have this many people. Sometimes there's just a handful of people. Again, it's life under the coconut tree, sadly. And also, we hop in our car and we run over here. It's real easy for us. They got to try to find transportation on Sunday. It's very difficult. I'm not making excuses for them, but it's a different world than what we live in. And so sometimes there's just a few. Sometimes there's more than this that is there. This is Perun. Don't have time to talk about her. I apologize. This is Indar, which is Nevitesh's brother-in-law. We baptized. In fact, these are the first people that Nevitesh baptized. We studied with them, and we took them out in the ocean and baptized the sister, the brother-in-law, and two of their daughters, and then their son was baptized later on. And so Indar, the brother-in-law, as you could see, is in a wheelchair there. He's been paralyzed for probably 10 or 12 years now, I think it is. And by the help of some brethren, we were just able to provide him a new wheelchair on our last trip down there. That one was falling apart. Just got to rush through. This is Lysa. This is Eva, another one. We studied with her for over a year before she was baptized into Christ. That's Eva being baptized probably about 2.5 years ago. This is the first one. His name is Shu. This is the first person that Nevitesh studied with on his own and baptized, and Shu has remained faithful. He's been a little shaky lately, but he's not fallen away or anything. He's just been a little weak lately. But the first night that we went over to visit, and so I did do the first study with him, but Nevitesh took it from there and studied with him and converted him. The first night that I went there, they had been in the Hindu religion, and earlier that day, because they had been studying with the quote-unquote pastor and come to faith in Christ, they tore down their idols. And so a lot of homes in Fiji, they have their family idols that are out in the yard. And so they had torn down their idols that afternoon. This is a family we had worked with for quite a while. They're not very faithful, sadly, but Nevitesh baptized them while we were down on a trip. This is a brother-in-law and his sister that I talked about just a moment ago. This is their two daughters who are twins, and their son, which is the oldest child. This is where Indar and his family live, out in a rural area. This is the last trip that we made down, just a study that I had with a man from the mobile phone shop, and all these people came up around and wanted to sit in on our study after we got it started. This is Nevitesh. We get invited a lot to AOG cell group meetings. And so we had been invited, and I preached. And so afterward, Nevitesh, because they were all Indians, Nevitesh stood up and in about 5 to 10 minutes summarized, probably 5 minutes, the sermon that I preached, just touching upon the points that he thought they would understand better in the Hindi language. And it's just so wonderful, from that awkward time that we saw him at first to now he's confident, he's animated, he doesn't stumble at all, and it's just a joy to see the growth that he's made. This is the cell group meeting that was there. This is at a worship service. Nevitesh and I are just chatting afterwards. That's the front of his house there. This is Perun's house, so we got the opportunity to help her paint some. That's Perun once again. Had to paint around a beehive. You can't see them. Okay, just a couple of odd pictures at the close here. The fellows that do this, they just climb right up that coconut tree. It is nothing to them. I mean, they are moving up that thing as fast as you and I are walking. There are scenes like this in Fiji. If you've got the time, you've got the money, you can go to islands. This is on the main island. This is Nadendola Bay. But people think of Fiji, and this is what they think of, and it's not the real world. It's like thinking of America and thinking Mount Rushmore. It's like thinking of America, thinking Mount McKinley. It's like, you know, thinking of all these great tourist sites. And it's the same way in Fiji, except the real world in Fiji is third world. And so Fiji, there are beautiful, beautiful scenes like this. The snorkeling's great, but it's a third world country. This is the real world. This is where the type of home we go into and have Bible studies. Sugarcane is their, tourism's their main source of national income or of income. Sugarcane is the second. So there are a lot of scenes like this. Farmers markets all over. If you want to think, ladies, if you want to think grocery store, think the small grocery store in a town of 1,200 people back in the 50s, and you've got the picture of the grocery store down there. So a lot of farmers markets. This is a bus after school. Do not get on the bus when school lets out. Those kids have been playing soccer. They've been playing on the playground. Just take the next bus. 65 degrees. She's wearing an insulated snowsuit at 65 degrees. I think actually it was 64 degrees that night. And this is baby Ray. We studied with this couple. They were never converted. We did several studies, and they wanted to name their baby after me. They didn't like the name Ken because down there it's a name for Cain, and they didn't care for that. And so they wanted to know my middle name, which is Ray, and so they named their baby Ray. So there's a namesake running around in Fiji. And once again, a typical, somewhat typical Sunday morning. Oh, here's the daughters. Again, this is probably 2 years ago, but here's Marilyn a couple years ago and Evelyn a couple years ago. So you know how fast kids grow. All righty. Should I ask for any questions? You have any questions? Okay, you can ask me afterward. I'll be glad to try to answer any of those for you. God had blessed us with the opportunity to go to the Fiji Islands to preach the gospel. Sometimes we would get so discouraged. Sometimes we'd get so aggravated. Sometimes we felt we were laboring in vain, and then we would come to our senses and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this blessing." It was a blessing, and it is a blessing to do that work and continue that work down there in the Fiji Islands. We, even though it is a smaller group, and there is a group, Indar and his family meet in their home, so there's two groups, and even though it may be small, we are accomplishing what we had set out to do. I'd asked the supporters when we were seeking support to go to Fiji, I said, what I would like to do with this endeavor is to go down to Fiji and see if we can establish a self-sustaining congregation. And self-sustaining work. Instead of them relying upon Americans to come down all the time and to do all the preaching and teaching for them, we want to go down, we want to try to convert people, we want to find someone we can put trust in and teach them so that Fiji can be a Fiji congregation. And so although it's not real large, I have no doubt that it's going to be there, it's going to remain, because there are a handful of solid people, and Nevitesh is one of them. So you all are making it quite possible, and so thank you very much. The purpose for going, the purpose for moving to Springfield, the reason why you all are here, is God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned.